When I meet Michael Grice, he's sharply dressed in a turquoise pinstripe shirt and nice beige slacks. He says people are quick to judge him because of his disability, so he pays special attention to his appearance. Grice has cerebral palsy. A few years ago, he moved into supportive housing at Ada S. McKinley. The agency also provided him with a job doing piece work.
I'm filling bubblegum machines, packaging boxes for different companies.
The agency is allowed to pay workers with disabilities less than the minimum wage. That's because they have a special license under the 1938 Fair Labor Act. Ada S. McKinley says it allows them to give people jobs who otherwise couldn't get them. Each worker's wage is calculated based on their individual ability. For Grice, it was less than a dollar an hour, a big drop from the wages he earned before when he was working at a bank or university gym.
To buy the essential things was impossible. Clothes, hygiene products. To get a haircut, it was just impossible.
His concern about looking good was compromised. He also said he didn't feel like he was making a real contribution. Sometimes, he didn't even cash his checks.
I was embarrassed to cash a check that was $5.40 for 2 weeks. I didn't even bother. It was, believe me, very degrading.
Grice said he couldn't afford to go to the movies or out to dinner, so he was rarely out in public. He felt isolated. Grice's wages aren't that abnormal for workers with disabilities. According to the National Core Indicators, the majority of people with these jobs earned less than $2.50 an hour. Still, the license agencies say they are doing important work. Envision Unlimited serves people with developmental and intellectual disabilities. Susan Gardner is Division Director of Day and Employment Services. We tour one of their centers in Logan Square.
All right, well, let's start over here.
There's a big open room with bright painted walls. In one section, people are playing card games. There's also a section with low light and quiet music for relaxation. In another area, people paint.
Scott, what are you doing? What are you doing right now?
Cave.
Towards the back are big industrial looms and a cutting table. This is where people with hourly jobs make tablecloths and napkins.
And for napkins, I have to put it on the 18 and a half.
People move freely between work and recreation. Gardner says they learn a range of skills here, like socializing.
See where it says napkins?
I do see that.
Most of the agencies that pay sub-minimum wages are nonprofits, but many get contracts from for-profit businesses to do piece work. Gardner says all the money they bring in from the contracts goes directly to materials or workers' wages.
If we weren't allowed to pay sub-minimum wage, we would price ourselves out of the market. And then those people would not be able to earn a check. And you can see they were invested in what they're doing. They were taking a lot of pride in what they were doing. And it's preparing them to take those same skills into the community and really be a functioning part of the community and the work world out there.
Envision says that about 60 people they employ now have regular jobs, including two women who have worked at Shedd Aquarium for over 30 years. But work placement rates like Envision's are rare. 95% of people with these sub-minimum wage jobs never go on to get regular work. Illinois is particularly weak. It ranks 44th in terms of placing people with these disabilities in regular jobs. Advocates are especially critical of larger organizations, like Goodwill, where executive directors earn huge salaries and have multi-million dollar budgets, while workers make so little. Renee Luna is an advocate from Access Living. He says the problem isn't only about wages. It's that these workplaces are segregated from the general population.
They're being kept away from the rest of society. It doesn't help our perceptions of disability.
A few bills have tried to eliminate the sub-minimum wage, but never successfully. And this current round of minimum wage conversations doesn't seem like it'll end it either. In order to change things, Luna says we have to think about work differently.
We have to not think about a job description and trying to fit the disabled person into that job description, but looking at reasonable accommodations.
Grice, for example, was put in a job that didn't match his skills. It emphasized manual labor, but he's in a wheelchair and lacks hand dexterity. One day, about 5 months into his job, he looked down at his work, frustrated with how slow it was moving.
I just said to myself, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this.
Grice asked his social worker to take him out of the program and help him find a job in marketing or outreach like he had before at the gym.
Our response was, we're doing the best we can do. Just go along for now and we'll try our best.
Grice says many people at workshops are afraid to speak up or leave. Keep in mind these organizations sometimes also provide housing, transportation, and other services. But Grice knew that his situation was no longer working for him. so he left it all behind. He now lives in a nursing home and is looking for a job. Shannon Heffernan, WBEZ.